please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to dive right into our lesson today. And then if you're a good church, we have some awesome entertainment. When our lesson's over, we're going to take communion and the contribution, and then we'll have a short break. The Spanish ministry is going to come up and join us. And then we're going to have the kids come in. They're going to be performing for us. Oh, boy, get out the cameras and the Kleenex. And then that's not even all. We've got more than that. And, you know, we even had things today that we couldn't fit in that you're going to see in the next week and the next week. So it's awesome when disciples have talent and they want to share it. And guys, Christina Dawson, just amazing. I mean, I so appreciate, and I know she gives all the glory to God, but I so appreciate that song. How can you not be fired up about God and His children after that song? And it's so appropriate for the lesson today. And I'll read you a scripture in Luke 12. And then we'll get to the title of the lesson. I think you'll understand why that song is so appropriate. In Luke 12:32, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Now, doesn't that just put you in your place right there? We're not some big, awesome flock. We're just a little flock. But we got a big, awesome shepherd. Amen, guys? And He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." This month, we're talking about the gifts of God. Today, very specifically, we're going to talk about one of the greatest gifts God has ever given us. And that's the kingdom. All God's children singing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns." Title of the lesson, "Pleased to give you the kingdom." Reading on. Verse 33, Jesus says, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. Where no thief comes near, or no moth destroys." Or any other little bugs. With me, guys, amen. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where's your heart this morning? I know where your body is. I can see you. Thank God I still have enough eyesight to do that. Although it is fading. But where's your heart this morning? Where's your treasure this morning? Jesus says, don't be afraid. And the reason He said don't be afraid is because God was pleased to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is a reason to not fear. You are not alone. As long as you're a part of God's kingdom. And we get a glimpse here. How much is the kingdom worth? It's worth everything. Well, why does Jesus say, sell your possessions? Give them to the poor. Well, it's obvious. He says, then you'll have treasure. You'll have your treasure stored up in things that won't be gone later. Far too often, the reason we're so up and down emotionally is our joy is in stuff that comes and goes.
Right.
You're not going to be happy that way.
Right.
Only true happiness is going to be when we put our joy in things that are eternal. And sometimes, Jesus knew, as long as we have things, that way we are, we're just going to put our hope in that. So He says, if you can't get your stuff on straight, just get rid of it.
Yep.
Then you won't have nothing. Then you only have God to put your hope in. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Treasure that won't wear out. Look back in verse 13. We've read that scripture, but now we got to get a running start here. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." It's a little similar to the parable of the prodigal son, which we're going to have a fun story about later. Will be performed for us in a different way. Where the young man wanted his inheritance up front. So he can go do what he wants with it. Here this person says, "Tell my brother to give me what's due me." 14, Jesus replied, "Man," I love that, "Man, who appointed me judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Oh, can you say holiday season? A man's life. A young man's life. For the youngsters here. Does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's not the reason for the season.
Right.
And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "Self, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I'm going to build a bigger barn in the suburb. Because there's no room in the city. If I want a bigger barn, I got to go to the suburbs. And there I will store my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, Self, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." Sounds like a good plan? Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Sound like the American dream?
Yeah.
Oh, baby. But God said to him, "You American, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Who's going to get what you've prepared for yourself?" And this is how it will be for anyone who stores up for himself but is not rich towards God. We get fooled. We get tricked. Don't you hate it when you get fooled?
Yes.
When you get tricked, Satan gets you to do something that is so stupid.
Amen.
You never imagine yourself doing something so stupid.
Right.
And then you go, "Nope! What did I just do?" And then you got to be reminded about the mercy and grace of God. Amen. Because we all stumble in many ways. Today's the day to get a hold of yourself.
Come on.
To not be a fool.
Come on.
To not store up treasure and stuff that it's going to be gone. Here today and gone tomorrow. It's going to wear out. Matthew 13.
Come on.
I want to show you one of my favorite parables about the kingdom. Of course, Jesus told many parables about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. Because he wanted us to get it. He wanted us to understand in our terms. In Matthew 13, verse 44. Remember, God is pleased to give you the kingdom. Verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, went and sold all he had and he bought that field." Okay, let's stop. It's a fun little story. And we've talked about it in church before. If you can look out those windows over there, you see the park. You see the fields across the street. Imagine you're walking across there and you stumble and trip. And you look back and you stumbled on a handle. It's coming out of the ground, like like a handle for the earth or something. You dig around and you dig up a treasure chest. And you open it up. And it is full of loot. Keys. Cash. Payment. You know what I'm saying? It's full. It's unbelievable. And so, thank God it was like in the middle of the night and nobody saw you, so you bury it back. And then you go and you sell everything you've got and you buy like 2 foot worth of Chicago land. That's all you need out there. You know what I'm saying? You can't afford the rest. Why would someone go in their joy and sell everything they've got to buy some field? That's what people think about you. You a nut job. You go on Lulu. But you know what's in the field. That's why you're willing to sell everything you have to buy it. Well, why'd you bury it? Because you know you couldn't afford it if they knew it was there. So you shrewd. You bury it. You don't have enough money to buy that. That's the kingdom. It's worth so much more than we've got. Kingdom is $1 million, and what you're worth is one thin dime in the other hand. That's how valuable the kingdom is. So, you do all that, you get rid of everything joyfully, and you get the kingdom. But then, like I said, you've got people in your life that they don't see the treasure. All they see is the field. You with me, Christians?
Come on.
They think you're a full-blown idiot. They think what you had was $1 million, and that field is a thin dime. It doesn't make any sense. Why'd you do that? And we spend the rest of our lives trying to get people to come out to the middle of the field and see what we found. But some are totally unwilling to even come look because they think we're so much of a fool. That's the kingdom of God. Read on. Verse 45. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and, oh, look, same thing. Sold everything he had and bought it. So you're a merchant. You're looking for a pearl. And you go through one of those merchant shows. Maybe you're down there at, what is it? Merchant Mart or McCormick Place. Or you're down there at a show and you see a pearl. You see this pearl that is unbelievable. You're like, oh, that's what I've been looking for. That's what I'm talking about. And you go to purchase it. But the guy you're buying it from knows what it's worth. So he says, well, how much you got? Well, here's everything I got in my pocket. Okay, I'll take that. But that's not enough, though. He goes, what else you got? Well, I got a credit card. Okay, I'll take your credit card. Hey, run what you can on that. Wait. Good. What else you got? But you know that pearl's worth more than you've ever had. That's the kingdom. And so you go, honey, you got any? Oh, you have a honey. I'll take her. You want my wife? Yeah, I want you to give me your wife. You want the pearl? You want the kingdom? It's going to cost everything. But if I give my wife, then I'll have to sleep in my big house all up. Oh, you have a big house. I'll take your big house too. But you know the pearl's worth more. Okay. But now that I give you a big house, me and my kids are going to have to sleep in the car. Oh, you have a car and kids. I'll take them. The kingdom's going to cost you the shirt off your back. Valuable. It's more valuable than anything you have. church? Do you still believe that?
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Satan's trick is to try to start making you think the kingdom's not that valuable anymore.
Right.
That the gift God was pleased to give you isn't that awesome anymore. Boy, Joe, you sound bad. Yeah, that's right, man.
It's Italian, Joe.
It's Italian right there, baby. Yeah, you got to appreciate the family. I hope I didn't mean to offend anyone if I did there. Is the kingdom still worth more to you than anything? When you understand the price, what does the price matter? When you understand the price is so much greater than the price. When you find something, man, I want that. I don't have no money, but if I had that, I'd have worth more than what I got. So, can I borrow some money? You want to find what you need to get it. Because it's so awesome. You can never pay this price. That's why Jesus paid it for you. So He could be pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus paid the price to give you this gift. My favorite part of this story is this, though. After you've given everything, the shoes off your feet for tax, you know, you get the pearl. Here's the pearl. And you take the pearl, the kingdom, and it's amazing. And then God says, but wait a second. That's not all. You know what? Here's your wife back too. Oh, but one thing. She's not yours anymore. She's mine.
Yeah, right.
You treat her like she's mine. That's the kingdom.
Yeah.
Here's your kids back. But they're not yours anymore. They're mine. Now you treat them like they're mine. Here's your big house back. But it's not yours anymore. You use that for the kingdom. Here's your car. Better get ready. It's not yours anymore. You go in team ministry, it's going to get messed up. It's okay. Put on some mileage for the kingdom. But remember, that's not your car. That's my car. So, it's okay with me. You put as much mileage for the kingdom as you need. It's okay. You can borrow it. But you treat it like it's mine. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's the kingdom.
Amen.
That's why it's worth any. You start thinking what you got's better, you're doomed.
Yeah.
You're doomed. Because you won't have the kingdom anymore. Look at Hebrews 10.
Come on, bro.
One of the coolest things about being a Christian is getting to see the young Christians. Isn't it? To see people becoming new creations. Whether they're young or old, becoming new creations. And changing everything about their life. Their priorities change. Their attitudes change. Their perspectives change. Because they seek first the kingdom. It's awesome to see. In Hebrews 10, verse 32, the Hebrew writer is trying to remind the Christians of the kingdom and how precious it is. Verse 32, remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Remember, guys? Other times, you stood side by side in the kingdom, amen, guys, with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison, and look at this, joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. Do you see a theme here? And the challenge coming up next is one to never quit. God says, if you shrink back, I will not be pleased with you. Let's read on. Let's read it. Verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. Remember your confidence in the kingdom in the beginning? Have you lost any confidence? I hope not. Maybe I should say it different, the way the Hebrew writer did. Have you thrown away any confidence? Don't throw it away. It will be richly rewarded. Verse 36. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, and amen, church, that's what we're doing, right, guys? When we've done the will of God, you'll receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who was coming will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. Sometimes you got to have faith in the kingdom. When people let you down, you have faith in the kingdom. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. Anybody shrinking back? Don't worry about Chris Broom not being pleased with you. If you shrink back from God's kingdom, he will not be pleased with you. He was pleased to give you the kingdom. What you do with it will decide whether he's pleased with you or not. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And again, sometimes it takes belief. Every day you're not going to feel it's just all squishy, gushy, cool. The kingdom. Some days, you got to pull up your bootstraps, especially in the snow, and get to church. Because our hearts start to harden. It's amazing how quickly our hearts can harden, isn't it? We're trying to be the star of Christmas of the season, and all of a sudden, some little bitty stub of the toe. Or bigger things that make us doubt and question. What I love about the kingdom is the kingdom is one gift. But it's like a lot of gifts in one gift. Isn't that amazing? And so, I want to finish up here, which doesn't mean I'm anywhere near finished, but in the greater scheme of things, and talk to you about three gifts in one. Now, don't worry that was just the introduction. Really, the points are not as well developed as the introduction was. But the kingdom is three gifts in one. And those of you that have studied about the kingdom, you understand. To have any kingdom anywhere, there's three things you need. So church, what's the first thing you need to have a kingdom? A king! God is pleased to give you a king. That's number one. He's pleased to give you a king. Are you pleased to have a king? And as Anthony sings for us, King Jesus is Lord. Amen, guys? Go ahead and go over to Matthew chapter 2. God is pleased to give you a king. That is why we celebrate the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the star of Christmas. You know, I don't know where you stand on Santa Claus. Some people go so far as to not allow any celebration of Christmas whatsoever and other holidays because, hey, that's not true and all. And, you know, Juan Carlos sent me a text. He said, you know, My daughter, Sammy, she took a step of maturity. We had to talk about the Santa secret. And I text back and I said, you mean that Santa wasn't Mexican? Yeah. Sometimes we just have to face the facts. It's all good. It's all good. But even C.S. Lewis, in those awesome pictures of late of Narnia, Santa Claus was in there. So if you want to go that far extreme, you can go that far extreme. Others don't. You know, for me, it's kind of like superheroes growing up. There's a point where you believe in Superman. You believe in Aquaman. Not to be anything but loving toward Mexicans. My wife's Puerto Rican. I love the Latin culture. Even though some Puerto Ricans don't like Mexicans and vice versa. But in the kingdom, we love everybody. Amen? There's a young man that contacted me on Facebook that I hadn't talked to in years. It was a dear friend. And he was a young man, 19, in my ministry in New York City many, many years ago. And I'll never forget, he told me, growing up in Mexico, he used to watch Batman. And when he came to America and he watched Batman in America, his first thought was, oh, Batman speaks English. It's all about perspective, isn't it? I was walking in here today, and I thought, what a nice day. Now, you could look out the window and maybe not think that way, but compared to 1 degree, which is what some weather people said it might be, it's all perspective. There's things when we're kids, we don't believe, we go, hey, Santa is not going to get you to heaven. You with me here? Santa Claus. Jesus is the reason for the season. Here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, when the wise men came, and they followed that star to get to Jesus, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped Jesus. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Have you ever studied what these gifts were all about? Gold, incense, and myrrh. It's a fun study to do, and I'm just going to share a very little bit with you. But I want you to understand that God was pleased to give you a king. And even as a baby, these wise men knew Jesus was a king. It's interesting that we don't know their names, but we know what they gave. It's always a bit suspect to me, this author writes, when donors of large gifts want their names associated with their gifts. My daughter attended a college in South Jersey named Glassboro State College. While she was a student, a successful industrialist gave the college a gift of $100 million. Suddenly, the name of the school changed to Rowan College. Guess who gave the donation? On the other hand, it's clear to me that godly men and women who give out of their pure motivation of desire to honor the Lord, these people, like the Magi, don't care to have their names mentioned. It's a good heart check for us today. Do you need to be mentioned? You know what?
Come on, bro.
I get phone calls from time to time saying thank you. And I gotta be honest, it means a lot. Now in the end, I know that without God working in my life, I'm nobody. And I probably wouldn't have done the thing that they were thanking me for doing if I wasn't a Christian in the first place. So God gets all the glory, but it's encouraging. And I think there's a good part of that. But Satan, as always, loves to come and mess with the purity of that, of the joy God wants us to have when we give to others, and make it about getting joy in receiving praise. It's the beginning of the end of our walk with God when we start needing credit. That was just extra for free there. Why did they give him incense? That's because they knew He was a God. And He deserved to be praised. Why'd they give Him gold? That's because they knew He was a king. That's what you bring. It's a royalty. And why'd they give Him myrrh? Well, that's one of the spices you use to prepare a body for burial. That's because they knew He was going to die on the cross. Or at least the Spirit did. And whether you find fault in that explanation of it or not, there's no doubt Jesus is God. There's no doubt Jesus is our King. And there's no doubt that He died on a cross for our sins. Jesus is our King. What's the second thing you need to have a kingdom?
Law.
You got a king sitting there alone, that's not a kingdom. Right? And even if you got a bunch of people, which we'll talk about in a minute, if there's no law, if there's no standard, there won't be no kingdom for long. Are you with me, guys? In the kingdom of God, what's the law? What's the standard? God's Word. There are so many scriptures we could look at about God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped? Here's the Word. Here's the law. Hebrews 4, the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts into our hearts. It exposes us. As it says, everything will be laid bare before God that we've done. So it's like a sword that cuts in and exposes our hearts. What would God's kingdom be like without a standard? Well, I hate to say it, but it'd be like a lot of churches today. And I don't mean any cheap insult there. But it would be like a lot of churches that we have even today. Too many churches today talk only about the rewards of Christianity. We learned that in our quiet times this week, didn't we, church? Too many talk only of the prizes that we can get if we worship a cosmic Santa Claus. Be a Christian, get good stuff. Anybody that understands Jesus and His life and His call understands, while the prize is great, we've been talking about that, the price is also great. It costs everything we've got to gain the kingdom. But what would the kingdom be like if we just all act however we wanted, like before we were Christians? No. See, we have a standard in this church. It's the only thing that makes it what everybody, when they get up to share, when they become young Christian, they say, this place is incredible, this is awesome, love. That's only because of God's Word.
Right.
Only because of the standard that our King has demanded we follow.
Come on.
Without a standard, we'd be in trouble. God is pleased to give you a standard. Take a look with me in Ephesians 6. There's another explanation here about the Word being a sword that I want to read to you. In Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about putting on the full armor of God. That you can't go out into a battle without your armor on. You'd be easy picking. And it talks about putting on all the armor. And then in chapter 6, verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so, in this analogy of the Word of God being a sword, it's the sword of the Spirit. That sounds like a pretty powerful sword. Now, we talk all the time in the church that you are in a battle spiritually. If you don't have your armor on, you're in trouble. Well, I'm going to put before you, if you don't have a sword, you're in trouble. The sword makes all the difference. Now, You're in a battle with Satan. Without your sword, how do you think you're going to do? You've got to get your sword out. With a sword, you have a chance.
Yep. Yeah.
Without a sword, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Now, once you pick up your sword, what do you think Satan's number one goal is? To run away from you? The Bible doesn't say resist the devil, he'll flee. Where do you think he goes? Down to the Baskin-Robbins to drown his sorrows in the 31 flavors? No, he's going to go to one of your brothers or sisters and go after them. But if he's going to fight you, what's the easiest way for him to defeat you? Is to get the sword out of your hand.
Yep.
Is to get the sword out of your hand.
Yep.
You don't need to have a quiet time. God knows you love him. Oh, you don't need to read today. You know, just say a quick prayer and check out the Daily Word Scripture. Then even if you pick up your sword, you don't know how to use it. I'm trying to say, God was pleased to give you the Word as a standard and as a sword. I want you to think that way as you go into battle this week. And finally, what's the last thing you need? You need subjects. You got a king sitting around and a nice law, but nobody else. That's not an awesome kingdom. You want to have people in the kingdom. Who are the subjects of the kingdom? The loyal disciples. And I explained it that it's those people that are worshiping their king. It's those people that are following the king's standard. Because if you break the standard, you hurt the king's society. You hurt the kingdom. And the king is forced to bring authority and to separate you out so that he can protect the kingdom. In America, we call it prison. Do we want to have prisons? I don't want anyone to have to be in prison. But if you refuse to go by the standard, and you're going to hurt me or my kid or my wife or my neighbor, they got to put you in prison so you won't hurt society. The concept makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Why is there a hell? Well, that's why. Because some don't want to follow the standard.
Right.
And therefore, the kingdom wouldn't be the kingdom. And in too many churches, it's just crazy. People act however they want. And there is no semblance of the wonders of the kingdom. God is pleased to give you His kingdom. In Mark 3, I'll just remind you, when Jesus' mother and brothers came to talk to Him, someone came in and said, "Your mom and your brothers are outside." What did Jesus say? Who are my mother and my brothers? He looked around at those in a circle around Him. There's a little Bible talk they were having. Amen. And He said, those who do the will of God. Those who do the will of my Father. That's my mothers, my brothers, and my sisters. That's the subjects of the kingdom. Those that do the will of God. That's what it takes to be Jesus' brother. Or sister or mother. It's those that do the will of God. In Luke 18, when Jesus is talking about how hard it is for the rich to get in the kingdom of heaven, Peter says, "We've left everything to follow you." And He says, "Those of you that have left mothers and brothers and homes and fields, you won't fail to receive 100 times mothers, brothers, homes, fields." Guess what that is? That's the kingdom. That's us. Whatever you left behind to come in the kingdom, look it around, look at all the people and all the brothers and sisters and homes you've got now. And the treasure you've got now.
Wow.
Are you as grateful as the day you came in the kingdom for that?
Come on.
And eternal life! And persecution. That was added as well. I'm so grateful for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I do want to honor a group of people here. You know, there's so many people to thank. At the end of the year, you want to thank everybody for everything. I just thank all of you. You're all awesome. And you'd love to go through every single person. But I want, right now, if you could, to stand, if you taught the children in the last semester. Go ahead and stand up and let's thank these guys. Amen. You can stay standing for the rest of the sermon. No, I'm just kidding. You can sit down. And there's a whole new set of people not in here today because they're teaching the kids. We need to be so grateful. That's the kingdom. They're not just getting babysat back there. They're getting taught fundamentals of the faith back there. You know, we had someone that couldn't teach, and so we had to fill a spot last minute. And so yesterday, Jaina got a call. And I heard back the most glowing report about Jaina. She was asked just yesterday by Barb to please teach this semester. And I heard, Teresa told me, Barb said she was ecstatic to serve. So happy to teach, so grateful, ready to go, and she's back there teaching today. Amen? That's the heart of the kingdom. And gratitude for the kingdom. And I don't think there's any craziness about her heart. Now, so many women have helped her become a Christian. But she lives with Maria Cortez. And that, I tell you, that's a sister right there. You know, who you are rubs off on people. And I think Jaina, she couldn't be around a better example than Maria Cortez as a young Christian. Is that all? Is Maria an awesome sister? Thankful and happy to serve. You know, with Irwin being sick this week, Nikki wanted to be out there so much more with her dad and with her family through the week. And yet, Nikki is very conscientious about all the Bible studies she's been doing with people. And Nikki told me the other day, she said, Shana and Elise told me, Nikki, you need to be with your dad. Don't worry. We got this study. You stay with your dad. That's the heart of the kingdom. And I'm so grateful for Nikki and Joel and Brittany as they serve and intern and are training for the ministry. Guys, they do so much. Brittany has been in such a demanding school semester, this last semester, that it was harder for her to be in as many Bible studies as she's usually in. And you know, because a lot of people are sitting here because she's in those studies. And she was able to be in more studies this past week. And she just shared the other day at staff. She was, it's just so good to be in studies. I feel so joyful being in studies. Remember, that is the recipe for joy. Remember we talked about that a year ago. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. Then you'll be really joyful. And you know, we love the women's ministry in the kingdom, don't we? Last Wednesday night was women's midweek. And of course, the weather was getting pretty bad, especially in the outlying areas. And some of the folks that are way far away needed to go ahead and stay home and pray and go through the quiet time series. But Teresa, when she came home from midweek, she was glowing. She said, we started midweek and the women just kept coming in to midweek. That's the kingdom. When you don't forget how awesome the kingdom is, you just keep coming. I got an email this week as well from our new brother Ryan. And the title of the email was Kingdom Dreams. And he wrote, he said, you know, just a few weeks ago, I had no idea what the kingdom was or that I wasn't even in it. And he'd gone on a date this past week, and his date had asked him, what are your kingdom dreams? And he said, kingdom dreams, what's that? And that's what he said. I didn't even know what it was. I wasn't in it. Now I get some kingdom dreams. And the date was Nikki. And of course, you know Nikki has big, big dreams for the Philippines. Yeah. Ryan, it got Ryan thinking. It got him going, what are my kingdom dreams? See, God was pleased to give you the kingdom. Do you have kingdom dreams? If your dreams are only wrapped up in yourself and your life, you'll never be happy. Maybe for a brief moment. But when you seek the kingdom and you get back your kingdom dreams. Everything about you changes. Proverbs 29:18 in the King James says, without vision, the people perish. You guys with me? Without vision, the people perish. In the NIV, it says, without revelation, the people cast off restraint. Without a vision, you have no reason to be restrained in yourself. Go hog wild without any vision. That's what's happened to so many churches. They've lost their vision. Let me lay something out here. We love each other in this church. But we're not here because of relationship. If you're only here because of relationship and because you just want somebody to love you, you'll be gone sooner or later. Satan will trick you into not thinking the kingdom's so awesome anymore when somebody hurts you. And yeah, that'll happen in the kingdom. It's not perfect because, well, you're in it. And I'm in it. And we hurt each other. And we have to forgive. And keep putting the kingdom first. And having kingdom dreams. It's a great time of the year, and I want to encourage you. Think and spend extra time with God over the Christmas break. And get some kingdom dreams for next year. Even for the end of this year. Maybe that's to become a Christian. Maybe that's to be a leader. To help lead others to Christ. But without vision, you will perish. I saw a movie yesterday. Took Anthony Franklin out for his birthday to see a movie. We went and saw Invictus. I've loved the things Nelson Mandela has done. And I was dying to see this movie. There hadn't been a movie out in a while that I was just dying to see. Because of the subject matter. And I tell you, it was an amazing, amazing time to think and reflect. One of the most powerful things said in the movie was by Matt Damon, who plays the captain of the rugby team in South Africa. And he's getting to know Mandela. And, of course, he learns the story that Mandela spent almost 30 years in a tiny prison cell. And one of the most amazing things, it's the day before the World Cup final. And his wife says, are you thinking about tomorrow? He goes, no. I'm thinking about how a man could spend almost 30 years in a tiny cell and come out ready to forgive the people that put him there. Because Mandela's vision and dream wasn't for a black South Africa. It was for a united South Africa. So many people, now that they were in power, wanted to put the other side down and get revenge. But that was not Mandela's vision. And he told the people that, he said, you know what? We've got to surprise the Afrikaners, the white South Africans. We've got to surprise them. We've got to surprise them with our passion, our compassion, and our restraint, and our generosity. Yes, the things they refuse to give us. Without vision, you will perish. The vision of the kingdom is not for a white church, or a black church, or just a Spanish church, although they need to meet separately for the language. The Latins have come up and joined us, guys. It's great to have them with us. Amen? Or for just an Asian church. But the kingdom is like a box of crayons. We may be sharp. We may be dull. We may be broken in half. But it doesn't matter what color you are, as long as you're in the box. Pleased to give you the kingdom. God bless you.